Nate, thanks for being on this podcast that you've been on every week and asking people questions, getting to know them, finding out some of their passions, interests, all that good stuff. So today we decided to turn the tables, to flip it. I am sitting in the hostess with the mostest seat
That's right here.
Awesome. And we're just going to get to know you a little bit and continue to talk about a few things in this series that we're in about formation and all that. So first of all, tell everyone how long you have been here at The Grove.
Yeah, it's nice to be on the other side of this, man. So yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I have been at The Grove. This year will mark my 7th year.
Awesome.
Yeah. I can still remember when I first showed up here, man. I had my big Bible. I got made fun of because I brought a big study Bible with me. I didn't know what kind of church it was, you know? It's like, hey, I want to be prepared. I had my buttoned-up shirt tucked in.
Yes. Yeah. Nice. Little tie on?
No tie.
All right, so... So here for 7 years, when did you decide, hey, being a pastor, that's the direction I want to go in?
Yeah, I had zero intention, for sure, of being a pastor or being in ministry. Growing up, that just wasn't something that was on my radar. Went to church kind of like inconsistently because a lot of my childhood was pretty inconsistent. Definitely thought that I knew the gospel as a kid, had heard it, said I was a Christian. But I really wasn't living a life that kind of represented Jesus or my faith, just because I just wasn't aware. I wasn't, and growing up, cared a lot about sports and hanging out with my friends, but I just didn't care a lot about church. And it wasn't until I was getting ready to graduate college. I was an applied exercise science major, and my mom ended up having a stroke my first year of college, which left her paralyzed. And so I wanted to be a physical therapist and help people like my mom. And I remember, as clear as day, graduating and being like, do I really want to do this? Physical therapy, go get my doctorate. And I remember praying, classic, prototypical, like I was like, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And I asked this question. And I feel like when you are honest with the Lord and you ask real questions, you find an answer. And I said, God, whatever I can do that is going to have the most impact with my life, I said, that's what I want to do. And then shortly after that, I applied for a scholarship to get my Master's of Divinity. No joke, I say this every time I bring this up, I thought that was a Hogwarts degree. I don't know if you know what Hogwarts is, but that's like the Harry Potter school. I was like, Divinity, what is that? Is that magic? I had no idea. Dude, I was
sorcery stuff.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I was so unaware.
Maybe a magic wand when you grow up.
I felt like the most ignorant person in all my classes, but I made that decision and I walked through that door, and God has totally been leading me and guiding me, and I've been taking those steps of faith. Nice. And the rest is history, man. I feel like I'm living in my purpose for sure.
Awesome. So, yeah. Well, good thing that you showed up with a big, huge Bible instead of the sorcery wand.
Yes.
The Harry Potter wand. That would have gone a whole different direction.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have been hired.
So you got married a while ago, but tell us about that.
A while ago, yeah. Yeah, man. So I ended up meeting my wife here at The Grove, and for anybody that actually comes to The Grove, you know who my wife is, Andrea Hughes. And we dated for 3 years, and then we've been married for 3 years. So we've been together for 6 years, and that has been, man, my greatest joy and the greatest blessing of my life, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, she actually just mentioned to me the other day that she said that she definitely, like, went up, like, on her last name change. So if nothing else, I know she's somewhat happy with you and the things, because she goes, you know, I went Fickle to Hughes, and she's happy about that.
Yeah, she has some horror stories of when she got made fun of with her last name as a kid.
She doesn't want to go back to that.
So she doesn't.
You're good to go.
Hopefully her dad's not listening to this, so we'll be fine.
No, why would he be? Tell us, in your free time, what do you like to do?
In my free time, I love to read personal development books. That's something that I've always cared deeply about. I love to work out. I feel like working out has kind of been my therapy. It's always been something that I went to, even as a kid. I remember going to work out with my twin brother, just to get that endorphin and feel like you're on mission with someone and pursuing something. I love water sports. I love wakeboarding, wake surfing. I love hiking. I love snowboarding. I don't love being outdoors in the summer in Arizona. I can tell you that much right now.
Yeah, no.
I don't.
I mean, nobody really does.
I can't wait for the day when I can be an opposite of a snowbird and I can just vacate this place for the whole summer. That's the day I'm praying for. Just leave for the whole summer.
get out of here. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I like to do in my free time, man.
Awesome. So on a kind of a deep, passionate level, what are the things that you care most about? Maybe the thing that breaks your heart the most when you think about it or see it?
Yeah, I love this question, man. This is a question that I've been able to ask all of our guests on the podcast. And I love that question because for me, when somebody asked me it, it clear as day, because I think I saw so many of my loved ones and my family members around me make decisions that undermined their own wholeness and happiness. And I'll explain that, but that breaks my heart. So I saw family members, my mom, aunts, uncles, friends, consistently make decisions that led to their own demise. My mom was addicted. And I know that addiction is a separate category, right? Like that's not, people don't, you might have chose that in the beginning, but that becomes somewhat of a disease. And my mom was a perfect example of you need healing, right?
Right.
They can't just choose their way out of that.
No, once it becomes a sickness, a disease,
it does.
A condition. Yeah, now it's.
And I think early enough, it could be a decision. That could be a whole other topic for a whole other podcast. But I do see a lot of my friends at a young age, they made decisions where they put themselves in environments that led to their own demise, and it led to destruction, and it led to them being in situations where I was fortunate to go to college and move out of my hometown. A lot of my close friends never left. My family members, they gave in to their addiction and their life has suffered because of it. So I want to give my life to helping people make decisions that bring wholeness and purpose to their life.
Yeah. Awesome. So that ties into this whole series of formation and development, wholeness, right? Becoming the individuals and people that God wants us to be.
Yeah.
So when you think about that and we think about like friendship specifically, how does friendship kind of affect our character and the person that we're becoming?
Yeah, I think friendship is probably, if you think about it, we face so many social pressures as human beings. We do. Mm-hmm. And especially in high school and in our adolescence, we want to be like what we think is the standard of who's accepted, who's cool, who's popular. And I remember hearing this quote at a young age, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so true. I think our friendships directly impact and shape who we are and who we're becoming. And even, I don't need anybody to even like, I don't feel like that needs to be proven. If you just observe people, you see that we do become just like the people that we spend the most time with. We do.
Yeah.
Even the way we talk, right? When you're around people and they may use a certain word, a certain slang term, if we think that is a desirable trait, we become just like that, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's not a healthy trait, we do.
Right.
And so I think that does affect our character and our formation more than most anything else.
Yeah. I taught a class last semester at Jessica College on spiritual formation. One of the weeks, I was talking about the parts of a person, like what makes us who we are. So we're looking, you know, our will and our body and mind, all that stuff. And I was looking at this thing from Dallas Willard, who in that model of those parts included, and he was kind of doing this concentric circle deal, like showing these like different parts, like, oh, here's your, you know, heart, and here's your, you know, mind, and here's your body, stuff like that. And he included in that relationships.
Ah, that's good.
Just because even though technically relationships are outside of like literally the parts of you as a person, they're outside of that, but they're so powerful and so impactful on who you are becoming.
It's true.
That added it to the
circle.
I was like, wow.
I love that. And it speaks to, I think, what God created us for. If you think about it. Mm-hmm. I remember there was this quote that this guy shared and it really bugged me. He said, you come into this world by yourself. And he said, nobody's coming to save you. This is what he said. Mm-hmm. So you need to learn how to become an individual that can take care of themselves, provide for themselves. And you know what I said? I was like, number one, you didn't come into this world by yourself. If you think about it, you literally came into this world attached to another human being.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, matter of fact.
Yeah.
And that just demonstrates the need, the complete and utter dependence we have on someone else.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in through another person and completely dependent upon them.
So what breaks my heart too, right, is we grow up thinking that we don't need people. Mm-hmm. And we call it, oh, that's a codependency, right? I hate mm-hmm. that, I do. Especially as an identical twin. You wanna talk about being attached to another human being, like your mom, umbilical cord?
Yeah.
I shared the womb with another human being. And I think that God wouldn't have given us that gift of being a twin and being connected to another human being if it didn't matter drastically. Mm. Drastically.
Yeah. Nice.
So we were created for it, man. We really were. It shapes who we are.
Was that a tight space?
Yeah. There? You know what?
I remember feeling like this is a little cramped, and I did not have a twin.
Yeah.
No, I was just flying solo.
So you never know how true this stuff is, right? But my mom said that I had to stay in the hospital overnight due to lack of oxygen because my brother was basically kind of like suffocating me. I don't know what end of his body was kind of blocking my my stuff, but yeah, so I came out and I was blue and I had to stay in the hospital overnight.
Have you guys worked that out? Like, have you had a chance to talk about
You know
about
what? I'm still suffering from that, you know? No, but for real, they say the kids from 0 to 2 need that attachment more than anything. They do. Yeah.
So not too long ago, you did a sermon on this guy that was paralyzed and his friends brought him to Jesus. Actually lowered him through a roof, right?
Yeah.
And this greatly impacted this person's life and the rest of this person's life, this guy's future.
Yeah.
So when you think of friendship and the impact it has on not just who we're becoming like we've been talking about, but on the future of who we're becoming. How important is all that?
Even as I'm sharing this right now, I'm recognizing the magnitude of our friendships. But that story reveals to us that our friends can literally take part in the saving of our lives. Mm. If you think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It says when Jesus looked at the faith of his friends, he said, your sins are forgiven. And so what that does to me is it demonstrates and reveals the importance of friendship and how much that matters. But even more so, what kind of friend am I? Mm. Am I somebody that is, with my life and my actions and my behavior and who I am I bringing and drawing and carrying people closer to the presence of Jesus? Mm. Or am I repelling them, right? Mm-hmm. Or am I just apathetic? Am I not doing anything?
Yeah.
So that's twofold, man. It speaks to how important our friendships are because they literally can save our lives. Mm-hmm. But it also speaks to the importance of us recognizing the kind of friend that we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's huge.
That's good. Last question, and we'll wrap this up because a lot of times people ask, I know friendships are important.
Yeah.
I know having them and who they are and they affect me and who I'm becoming, all that. But then what happens and how do I kind of handle when there's a friend in my life and for whatever reason, a lot of different ones, things have become unhealthy, toxic.
Yeah.
They're not good for me.
Yeah.
Maybe they recognize I need to create some space here with them. How do we go about maybe handling that? Any thoughts on that?
That is such a great question. I feel like that is a question that comes up a lot. It does. It comes up in counseling. It comes up even in the college and young adult ministry. That question comes up so much. Because it's a sensitive topic, right? We don't want to hurt our friends' feelings. But once we recognize the importance of friendship and also the influence it has over us, I think that we need to be careful, right?
Yeah.
You talked about in last week's episode these decisions that we make and how they literally can knock us off course. And the further we go down the road of being in this relationship or friendship, it can take us so far from becoming the person that we know God is calling us to be.
Yeah.
And so I think there's two things that we can do. And you can tell me what you think about these answers. But the first and the hardest thing to do, I think, is to let this person know how maybe they're affecting us. Mm. That's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, be honest with them.
The easy thing to do, you know what the easy thing is to do? Just distance yourself from them. Mm-hmm. But then they're gonna know and you're gonna hurt their feelings. I think that if the friendship is worth it, you're honest with them. Mm. And this goes back to your topic of self-awareness. Mm. You're helping them become more self-aware. Are they gonna be open to receiving that? And even practically in my own life, I'm going to keep these friends anonymous, right? Because some people might know them. But I remember I so badly wanted to make a difference in these friends' lives. And their life was actually impacting me. And I was just giving in a little bit. Like, for example, like a drink, right? I think alcohol can be a thing that's used in a very good environment, mm-hmm. in a celebratory way. I remember that I would just have like maybe one more drink than I should have. Like, and I care a lot about mm-hmm. my health, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't drink a lot.
Yeah.
And I recognized how that was affecting me. Mm. And I also saw how much this certain friend was drinking. And I was like, man, like I can't spend time with them. I can't go out with them because that's a temptation that I'm gonna face. Mm. And so I was real with them. And they were receptive, but there wasn't life change. There wasn't.
For them?
For them.
Okay.
For me, that gave me a way to kind of create a boundary. Mm-hmm. So when you're honest, you can create a boundary.
Yeah, and it's hard because you don't want to come across so judgmental.
Oh my gosh.
Because you're really, if you're doing it for the reasons we're talking about, you're really doing it for yourself.
You are.
You're an unhealthy person, and I care about who I'm becoming and the direction I'm going in, so I do need to set a little bit of a boundary here.
Yes.
So I'm going to be honest with you about that.
Yep.
But man, for that to not come across as judgmental.
It's hard. It's so hard. And this is one thing that I've tried to embody. I didn't want to just share my opinion with my friend and be like, hey, dude, like, I think this is a real problem in your life. You need to change it. I was like, for me, the world is not going to be changed by our opinion. The world is going to be changed by our example. Mm-hmm. And so I always tried to live a healthy lifestyle, but I also tried to be honest about why I chose to live that way. Mm-hmm. I saw what happened to my family members. I saw what happened to people around me.
And you keep it about you?
Yes.
Which helps it not come across so judgmental.
Exactly.
It's true.
And so I was honest. They were receptive, but there wasn't life change. So then I created a boundary. Mm-hmm. You know what happened? This is a true story. Years later, that friend ended up becoming somebody who was really close again to me in my life. They ended up changing drastically.
Wow.
Yep. And it was nothing that I, like, sure, maybe that conversation could have planted a seed.
Yeah.
I doubt it. Maybe. But they had to change on their own. And then once they were a healthier person, man, we have the best conversation, the most intimate time. We thrive when we're together now. And I remember I looked him in his face and I told him, I was like, dude, I never could have had this conversation with you so-and-so years ago. You had to go through that journey on your own, you know?
Yeah.
So to answer your question in a very long way.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Be honest with them.
Yeah.
And if they're receptive, make it about yourself, right? Try not to be judgmental. Be honest about how you're being affected. And if they're receptive, great. Don't leave them in that either, right? Like, you want to be there for your friends. Mm-hmm. And if there isn't change, that's when you create a boundary. Because your formation and your character matters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your friendships have a very big influence over who you are and who you're becoming.
Yeah. And in your case, it did. It may not lead to kind of a good reunion years later, but it certainly can because it's that type of honesty, that type of openness with each other, that type of being kind of real and like speaking into each other's lives about, man, this is what's going on in me and why I'm saying this to you and I love you, but this is what this is about.
Totally.
That type of just vulnerability, communication, all that stuff, that's what's ultimately, that's what's going to create a strong friendship.
That's right.
And so you are, well, it's hard, but you are setting yourself up for the very real possibility and hopefully likelihood of a really strong, grounded friendship.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. We can talk a lot more about friendship. Maybe we will sometime. Maybe you'll have me back to host once again.
We'll do that, man.
But thanks for letting me do it. This was super fun. Thank you guys for listening, and hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Yeah, man. It's been fun. Thanks for having me.